This is RSBNB Update, episode 445, recorded Sunday, December 22nd, 2013, a year in review. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this episode of RSBNB Update. On this special edition, we have Earth joining us to discuss...
I'm here.
Yes.
Earth, I'm here.
To discuss some of the updates of 2013 that made the year and didn't make the year. So the way this is going to work is all three of us have our thoughts about what was good, what was bad in 2013... and where we want to go in 2014. Woo! So, let's begin with a bit of a preface as to what exactly is going on with 2013. 2013 was initially billed as the year of the player. In one of the first posts of the year, it was quoted, rather I'm going to quote, that 2013 is about ensuring that your hard-earned legacy is respected. Everything you've done and worked so hard to achieve will remain as amazing and relevant as it has ever been. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean...
I think for the most part of the year, I'd say it was relatively on point. We have a lot of quests that really focus on the player. We're having a new quest 2014 that's going to focus on the player a bit more. We've had some very interesting game changes throughout the year for us.
Yeah, and now we're the World Guardian. I'd say that's a pretty big legacy, wouldn't you?
It's almost as big of a legacy as having to build a legacy around a fallen planet in a different game. But anyways, I'm completely gonna agree with you guys with that. Because this is the first time in 2013 that they've ever killed a god. And I mean at least in our memory. I know, but there's nothing to say there weren't gods killed before.
You said the first time in 2013, which is incorrect.
Yes, well, the first time. Okay, so it's never been done before.
Yes.
Okay.
You clarify that.
All right, well, that's good then. So that started off with a bang. It would be the equivalent of a supernova, I'm guessing. So with that being in mind, the World Guardian, that's entirely true. So, I think that's what guided most of 2013, but it also led to some of the things, in my view, that were a little bit off with 2013, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Anything else from either you regarding legacy and remaining relevant in 2013?
What remains relevant?
You. And what you've achieved.
Oh, well, I mean, we're the World Guardian, so we're kind of a big deal. And everything's just been building upon that. The Battle of Lumbridge and this one we've got right now. I mean, obviously that stems from the World Wakes, too, so...
Yeah.
That.
Right.
Let's see, we have player-owned ports, which is something we control ourselves, and we dictate what happens with it. So it's more stuff is under our control.
Was that this year? I thought that was last year.
Yeah, that was the tail end of 2012.
Okay.
Really, it's been,
but,
wow, it's been that quick.
I know, but when you think about it, though, you're right. You can say player-owned ports, because the majority of people did the bulk of player-owned ports this year. So you can certainly include that in the mix.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
So definitely player focused, and there was also another post in January 2013, what's coming and what's going. Better community involvement, cutting down on cheats, clarity on micropayments, 2012 went overboard, and too many promotions running in 2012. Okay. So that is the brief outline of what Mod MMG wanted to do with 2013. You guys think they accomplished that?
A little bit. My bank, until a couple of weeks ago, was still pretty full of all the crap from Squeal of Fortune, so...
I'm going to take that as a no then on your part.
It was better. It's better.
All right.
But still irritating.
All right, then. Okay. So with that big... Oh, go ahead.
Hey, okay. I was going to say much. I say it's, it's a little bit of 50-50. I think we've seen a good, decent mix of... they're more focusing on the character itself. I kind of think that there's some things they can still improve on, but we'll get into those things later.
All right. So with that being said, 2013 started off 2 months into a brand new combat system. That's the Evolution of Combat, which, when you think about it, really was a precursor for RuneScape 3. So when 2013 started, I was under the impression on myself that ironing out these kinks would be a major part of 2013 and would make or break the year. But at the point when January started, we had no idea exactly what 2013 was going to entail. We didn't know it was going to have such a large magnitude that we've had so far. So that's the way I viewed us going into 2013 with this. I didn't view it as much anything different than 2012 was. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? What were you expecting in 2013 before you knew how momentous this year was going to be?
Just a bunch of average quests that had us centered on it. Like, I mean, an average quest was, what, like bringing home the bacon?
I would hardly call that average.
Let's be honest, that was really stupid.
That was far from average. I thought you liked bacon. There.
I thought far. You liked bacon.
Good moment. But other than that, it was not game-changing, and...
Okay.
Yeah. All right, then.
I was expecting more things like that. Little things that are cool for about 10 minutes, and then they're dumb.
So, in
but
other words, goldfish updates.
I was pleasantly surprised. What, Shane?
Goldfish updates.
What?
You mean, like, the updates goldfish? That are small enough that a goldfish can keep their attention span on it.
I see.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Well, you know, goldfish are supposed to have the memory span of about 5 seconds.
But they don't.
Right, that's been broken. So. Yeah, so never mind. Alrighty, so what about you, Trekking? What were you thinking of 2013 going into it and coming out of 2012?
Didn't know what to expect. I mean, at the time, we were all kind of wavering in our official duties of staying on the show, but not the show, staying in the game, because nothing was really happening in 2012. I just read
Thank
it.
Thank God.
Yeah. But, you know, going through it, there have been some really good quests that came out, and hopefully they will change around in the next year. But I think it's been a pretty decent year for Jagex.
All right. Yeah. Well, on that note, as players, have we reaped the benefits of it being the year as a player, or was just one of those marketing things that people like to use?
I think I'd say a little of both.
All right.
I mean, there are cool things supposedly cool things like Battle of Lumbridge and all of that, where...
Oh, it's too laggy.
Yeah, where we were, they wanted us. We were important. We were needed. Or things like that.
Okay.
So, sort of, but it was definitely a marketing thing, too.
All right, Becky.
I think they fulfilled a good portion of their promise. I mean, a lot of it was focused on us. I mean, it was one of those things like, you can customize your gear. I mean, they have been pretty good with constantly rolling out updates for Solomon. That is very, yeah, if you want to look like this, come and you can buy it here. So it was...
That's true.
I mean, people didn't have to go with what they had. What was in the game and was allowed to be worn, you can wear whatever you want now. Almost everywhere except from places that do PvP.
That's a good point. Very good point, actually. Alright.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll say that on my end, I think that in some cases they went a little too far offering too much choice. As I mentioned in previous episodes, I want them to be in the driver's seat, not the community. For various reasons, you know, just looking forward at where the game was 5 years ago, is this direction that the community charts now going to be the right direction for RuneScape in 5 years? But we'll have to wait and see on that. All right, so now that we kind of know what 2013 was about, let's talk about what we think was right in 2013 and things we were really, really, truly happy about. So I think let's get Trekkie to go with that.
Why go first?
Yeah.
I have to go first.
Fine, I'll go first. Oh, then.
I have to give you something to keep you happy.
I am happy. Happier.
Well, do you want to go first or
whatever.
Not?
Let's see. So for me, what they did right was really starting with a blank sheet of paper. They flat out said with every new quest after the world wakes, it's going to be a whole new age, which basically means they open the door. They don't have to follow anything in the past. They can do basically whatever they want, which is kind of good. And supposedly next year is going to be the year of quests, hopefully.
Really?
So, well, they say they released like very little quests this year, so hopefully next year they'll release a lot more.
Hot damn.
And so... Yeah, so that's what I really enjoyed. Hope that with the new age thing and next year's will be year of quest, hopefully they'll release new content. And starting with blank sheet of paper really helps them out. I feel that it gave them more creative rights to do what they want they would like to do with storyline in the future. Especially with our new abilities and some new mysteries that were thrown in near the end of the year.
Like what kind of mysteries are you talking about? Are you talking about Tuska? Perhaps.
You talk to Tuska if you want, but I was leaning more of like self discovery. You have the powers now. Not funny, Reed.
What kind? Why is that
discovery?
Why is that funny?
You don't want.
No, no. Just the way you said it, discovering yourself, and it just sounds like some lame self-confidence booster advertisement.
Fine,
bad enough.
Second thing, I'm kind of fortunate, or depending on which side you look at it, is the bot nuke. It really made a big, significant difference, even though you may not have seen it very well. But for most of us, like, ooh, dang, there's actually no bots in this area. That's kind of new. That's never happened before.
Yeah. I was pleased with that as well.
And the amount of chat private spam that I've received ever since the bot nuke has significantly been reduced.
I could never read those anyway.
Yeah,
even if
same.
I wanted to, then I would have nowhere to go because there are numbers everywhere. What do these mean?
And you know one thing that's really, really telling about the bot nuke? Is that because of this bot nuke, the number of players playing the game has gone down, and that's because these people playing the game were bots. And the people who are Jagex haters and hating on RuneScape 3 and the direction the game is going will take these numbers and spin them in the direction that the game is dying and in dire straits, when, you know, the complete opposite is true. Just because there's fewer people playing actually means that there's more real people playing of all these numbers that you see. So that is definitely one positive.
I was really surprised when it jumped from like 250,000 to about, what, 80?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, huge.
I think
huge
that's
drops.
Good, because looking back, a pretty high percentage of the players online were probably bots that I saw. So,
and if you also think
it's kind
about
of
it,
nice seeing someone, because you don't see as many people around anymore. So instead of, oh, it's just another person, it's, hey, there's someone else here doing something. That's cool. And I found that I've been able to talk to people more. They've been nicer than. Have you guys noticed that? Like, you're going and training Slayer, and you can actually have a conversation with the person.
Yes.
They're not just silent.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. Especially at the divination training spots. That's probably where most of my conversations this year were struck up. So I'll definitely agree with you on that. And it's something I'm going to be talking about in my section as well regarding players. So very nice indeed. Let's see, is there anything else we need to talk about regarding bots that happened this year?
You can get your golden pitchfork.
That was last year, too. But, anyways.
Really?
I swear it was tail end of 2012 that thing first came out.
I mean, you're probably right, but
and, I
it
mean,
just doesn't seem like it was that far.
Yeah, and the reason that's the case is because it came out in 2012, right? But the thing is that granted it came out in 2012, the main systems did not come online until 2013. So we didn't really see the colossal benefit until later in 2013.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
year flew by, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and I mean...
Say what?
The year flew by.
Yeah.
It's really great to see everything that happened with this. Anyways, thank you for those two. Those two are very nice and really telling of what 2013 was all about. My next one chains on to basically one of these things that we chatted about regarding the fact that bots are gone. You can actually talk to people now. I feel that this year in 2013, the player base actually grew up. And with this, the game grew up at the same time. When Evolution of Combat came out in November 2012, this was the first step into transforming RuneScape as what was considered once a game that high schoolers and junior high schoolers played at lunchtime. And
no, I wouldn't even give it that much, Shane.
Oh, really?
I would say elementary school.
Oh, okay.
Elementary school and middle school.
Okay, you're right, because that is when I was introduced to it, way back when. So
yeah,
that would be about right.
And I've been playing since fourth grade, I think.
Wow.
Still feel like I was more mature then than some of the people I've met.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, the internet is really a cesspool when it comes to that.
Joy.
Yeah. Anyways, but the game as a whole has grown up a lot, and EOC was the first step, and with this came one of the major updates of the year, and that's RuneScape 3. RuneScape 3 was the last step in the game growing up and the player base growing up with the game, in my view, because with RuneScape 3 we got the new interface system, of course, to customize the screen however we wanted. And I mean, what works for me doesn't exactly work for you, Reed. And same with everyone else out there. So
what do you mean?
That. Oh, you just made a comment the other day that you hated my interface.
Yeah, it was atrocious. It took up like half the screen, if I remember correctly.
No,
it was invisible. That yeah. bothers me.
Okay.
You can see through it. It might as well just not be there.
And see, this is the thing. You can customize this game interface in such a way that it's tailored to you. So that's one thing regarding RuneScape 3. Another thing that I group in the RuneScape 3 update is what you said about the world event and the new quest and the whole new age and everything. That is RuneScape 3 to me. If you were to package everything into a single RuneScape 3 expansion, that would be there, and that also helped the game grow up. So RuneScape 3 had a very big role in this, so definitely RuneScape 3 is something that was good for the health of the game and Jagex as a whole. And also, let's not forget the amazing music that came with RuneScape 3.
Oh my god. Yes. Yes. I have to wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, yeah. To me, it sounds like the music of a game like... it sounds very, very much like Skyrim, I think. And that's impressive because Skyrim is a very big budget game. And
your character also makes very strange noises in that game.
Oh, I should explain that. Shane, we were doing something on Skype and we were playing games and we were done, so I went to go play Skyrim and I had my speakers on. And I was fighting something and my character was just going rawr, rawr, rawr. And Shane found it very amusing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
Yeah. So music in RuneScape 3, amazing. And without that, I think it would be hard to show that RuneScape itself as a game actually grew up. Because remember, we were also supposed to have the HTML5.
It's not MIDI music anymore.
Hmm?
It's not MIDI music anymore.
Yeah, it's not synthesized.
It's not 8-bit music.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not 8-bit.
And let's also remember, we were supposed to have HTML5 with RS3. That didn't necessarily materialize, but if that had happened, RuneScape would have been catapulted to a whole new level. So, as you can see, that's why the game growing up, the player base growing up, with EOC as the first step, and then RuneScape 3, really, really cemented in where RuneScape was going this year and where it's going in 2014. And why I feel is that now is the best time ever to be playing RuneScape. So that's that.
Okay.
And the final thing is just the tiny little updates that were given towards game mechanics this year. For example, the Charm Sprites hunting minigame was updated. The D&D tracker shows you exactly when you can go do your daily sinkholes or barbarian, dwarven assault thing or whatever it is, the troll thing. Yeah, there we go.
Troll invasion?
Yes, there you go. Coin share changes. Changes to the coin share system we saw in November to finally really, really reduce the inflation on the economy, which, you know, if you look into
what happened with that?
I'd still
shards.
Yeah. Is that what you're asking?
I don't remember what those changes were.
Okay.
And I think it would be helpful for everyone if you explained what they were.
So basically before this coin share change, you would be given a hunk of GP whenever you got a drop from a boss monster. So let's say you killed something that had a grand exchange value of 50 million and you had 10 people fighting it. Each person would get given 5 million GP right off the bat. And the item wouldn't exactly get sold on the exchange. And you would just be bringing in these huge, huge amounts of GP into the economy. And this was further exacerbated earlier in the year by bringing in instanced God Wars and other instanced boss fights.
Wait, it didn't go on the Grand Exchange before?
For the longest time,
seriously?
They told us that it did, but it never did.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
because I remember hearing that it was, so...
Yeah, see, we thought it all did. But it wasn't until this update came out that we actually realized that it wasn't doing that. So that is what was contributing to a negative health of the economy. And changing it so that you get a certain amount of shards each time you get one of these drops, then you can combine these shards to get an actual item. You need 120 of them, or sell them on the exchange. Really helps the economy in not introducing too much GP. Because when you have too much GP
so
in the economy...
So what exactly happens with the shards?
Okay, so same thing. Let's say you're fighting something and it drops something impressive. Rather than just giving out GP now, there's 120 shards. And if you have 10 people fighting it, it divides it evenly. So 120 divided by 10 is 12. So you have 10 people fighting something, each of you will get 12 of these shards.
Okay. And what happens when you get 120 of them?
You can combine it into that item.
Oh, so for each specific item. So like a Bando's chest plate, if there were 10 people, then you would get 12 Bando's chest plate shards.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Then you could keep doing that to get the shards on your own, or you could go buy the rest of the shards off the exchange.
Oh, that's cool.
Up to 120.
And I assume that they're... Each one is 1/120th of the price, yeah?
Yeah, more or less. I think so. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, very so that cool. That really fixed the economy in my regard, or at least will fix it once we get more of this GP out of there and just improve things in general. So there's that side of things. As was mentioned already, bots are gone. So that's also another good thing that was tweaked this year. Also, real-world trading with bonds. We're glad that bonds exist. I think that was one of the better choices they made this year. And surprisingly, with that update, the community reaction was positive.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. Initially, people were pissed, but then it seemed to be fine for some reason.
Yeah, and that really surprised
me. I don't think a lot of people rage quit about it. Because we didn't lose anyone from my clan, and they rage quit sometimes. So, that's cool.
That's me in StarCraft when I get stupid players on the other team.
Okay. And of course...
We're stupid players on our team, right?
Yeah, it's usually the one random guy.
Or the one who tries to mothership in the mono battle.
No, that works out once in a while. Once in a while, one works out. Anyway, let's get back on track.
And finally, of course, the high-level farming update we got this year.
What was that one?
You don't remember that?
Remember what?
High-level farming
updates,
like the Wishing Well Bush, Snape Grass, God Berries, that sort of thing.
Must not have been on that show, because I know Shane would have gone apeshit over that.
Did go apeshit over it. I was on that show, but Shane, you forget. I'm not a farmer in the game like you are. I can't even make one of the things, so I can't do shit with the high level farming.
Yeah, so okay. That's me.
Really? You know what you should do, Shane?
What's that?
That's me.
Go to old school and do farming again.
Absolutely not. Alrighty, your favorite parts of 2013.
The first one is the dealing with games of chance, because I found that really irritating and just go anywhere dicing or whatever the hell it was called. And I was not fond of that, and it was spammy and it was dumb. That's pretty much it. And then for those of you that have been listening to the show all year, you know that I am the lore god. So my other two are The World Wakes and Missing Presumed Death, because those were very, very, very lore intensive, which is what we like.
And those were the two best quests of the year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And reads like a little encyclopedia with Coast to Quest.
Yeah.
Or should I say Wikipedia now?
Tell us about Tuska.
Tuska's that one god. So Gothics killed Skagaroth, or I don't remember how to pronounce it. He killed Skagaroth, and that's why he Gothics got really powerful. Yeah, he stabbed him with the Elder Sword, which killed him and transfers power and knowledge to Gothics, and Gothics became a god. But Skagaroth was fighting Tuska, and something happened to Tuska that made him go away. Gothics stabbed her in the eye, so she's completely blind, but still alive and currently ravaging dimensions, and she will eventually arrive in Gilinor.
That's what we mean, the lore encyclopedia.
Oh no, I have to admit, I looked this one up. I'm not familiar with this. Oh, she fought against Ceridoman too and made him move to another realm due to all the disruption. I'm still catching up with some of the new stuff. But
okay.
That's cool.
Alrighty. So do you have anything else you want to talk about with quests?
Missing Presumed Death was good, and it's what is it? Ramifications? That the word I'm looking for?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's ramifications are not small. So
yeah, we won't know until next year.
Well, I mean, we're already seeing it this year with this current world event, so...
By the way, Armadale's ahead by 4.9 million last I checked. That's
yes,
a 1 million increase in about 3 days.
Woo! Currently ahead by 5.1 million.
Holy cow. Yep.
Yep.
Alrighty. So that's what we thought was good in 2013. Let's move on to what went wrong in 2013. Now, people who are listening to this are probably thinking, yes, that one update from February is going to creep in here. The one update that was based on a poll. But the idea is that we're talking about RuneScape 3 as it is. We're not talking about different derivatives of the game. So, with that being said, here's what I think went wrong and could have been improved in 2013. As I said, we started off the year with the evolution of combat, a new system that was only 2 months old when we came into the game. And, you know, in reality, we probably could have seen more EOC updates this year. It's good. I know we were talking about this recently, but there still need to be changes made with the abilities and armor. For example, it is not fun to have an hour and a half long Slayer task, which is perfectly fine as it is, but spamming the same key combination over time, just, you know, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
It's good for about 15 or 20 minutes, but then it gets old. So something really needs to be done with that and Slayer, or make the NPCs harder and give fewer of them. So that's what I would suggest in that regard. And armor.
Allow us to use multiple action bars so we can, and more abilities so we can change it up. We
exactly.
Don't have to press 1, 2, and 3 over and over again.
Yep.
Because I don't know about you guys, but that's all I do when I fight PVM, and I don't do PvP, so that's all I do.
PvP is a whole other ball game.
Yeah.
Yep. And with EOC changes that we should have seen, but I don't think went far enough this year, I'd also like to throw in there armor. Granted, we have seen the level 90 armor tiers fill up, but that is just painful to get, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. I think the lower tiers of armor, 75, 80, 85, need to fill up. Because if you think about it, you got the Barrow's power armor at 70, and then the tank, or I mean the Barrow's tank armor at 70, and the player-owned port's tank armor at 85. Now, that's a pretty big range in order to be missing these things out. So I think an extra tier of armor
Isn't the Tetsu from Ports, isn't that the best armor in the game right now, though?
It is. Tank armor,
tank
yes.
Tank armor.
And what else? That's another thing. I feel like they need to add a guide or something to all of this, because I'm still trying to understand some of it.
All right, I'll explain that in just a couple seconds here. But okay. I think that, yes, it's good to have the high-level tank armor at 85 from ports. That's excellent. But the thing is there's no way to get an intermediary set of armor at level 80 or 75 that's tank gear that can hold you over while you're doing this port stuff. It just feels as though it's still missing, and there's a big hole in the combat system because of this. And this leads into what I'm talking about next, is that combat gear drop mechanics need to go the way of the dodo bird. Because if you think about it, what goes on is that a new NPC comes out, everyone goes to kill it, and they get their drops from that. Now, they've changed that up a bit this year with the Barrow's armor, for example, and what was the last one? The Serenic armor for ranged, the power armor. They changed that up a bit, but there's still armor that comes out that is just dropped and put into the game. Skilling and combat are becoming two separate things in this game that are, yes, they're designed to be separate, but they're becoming too far apart. There needs to be a way to marry the two together in order to have a decent experience for people who want to do a little bit of both and not be confined to one or the other exclusively. Because if they keep going on this path of releasing tank armor as drops from these creatures, the question is, how do you get started on that? I mean, not everyone has 100-odd million to throw into a piece of armor to go fight Virago or do high-level Slayer or whatever it might be, the Rise of Six Barrows Brothers. There's no way to easily get your feet into that. So what I'm saying is there needs to be a way through the skilling end of things to create a set of armor that is competitive in those activities that isn't as good as what gets dropped, but is still good enough to get by on.
Yeah, I've started something. Metal Maniac inspired me to become self-sufficient, so I don't buy that much from the Grand Exchange anymore, and I have no reason to do combat. There's nothing enticing me other than training combat or Slayer. And there's just... So I don't do combat.
Yeah,
I have no need to.
But wouldn't it be fun if you could, you know, just go into one of these high-level combat things and be able to use your skills in order to make a good piece of armor and go in and kill stuff, you know, just like a STF on Star Trek Online.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, and I'll actually go with that, Shane. In Star Trek Online, you get things from combat. You get drops that are guaranteed, and then you can use them in, I mean, there aren't skills, but the equivalent of skills. You don't... Shane, explain it a little better than that, please.
Basically, what happens is, by doing the activities, the PvE missions and whatnot in that game, you get the materials to level up what are called reputation systems and create the new armor and new equipment which betters yourself.
And you cannot buy those.
Exactly. You cannot buy
them. They're by far the best in the game, right?
Yeah, for PvE, definitely. So, the idea is that if you just participate in the combat system and use what you have, you can get there. You don't necessarily need to have a huge investment up front. You just need time. So if RuneScape had a mechanic similar to that, where you could get your own armor through skilling that wasn't as good as what's dropped, I think we'd be better off, and there would be a higher uptake on the PVM side of things.
But also, as I said before, to me, combat and skilling are mutually exclusive. I don't... If I do one, then none of the drops I get benefit me in skilling, and... I mean, like, armor, smithing, we can make what? Rune?
Exactly. And this is what I said, there needs to be a better marriage between skilling and combat.
I really think the closest thing to it are the dungeoneering weapons, right? Because you have to do a lot of dungeoneering in order to get the chaotic weapons.
Except dungeoneering isn't a skill.
Well,
hey.
Yeah, but it's like the STFs, though.
Exactly.
Which are missions where you just go in and you complete an objective and you get a reward.
So why don't we make more of this stuff in RuneScape then that's like dungeoneering?
That's good.
Except make them actual boss monsters and not skills. I think we're onto something here. A new type of boss monster.
That's good.
You guys are nuts.
No, it's creative thinking.
But it needs to be easy.
All right. Fine. So we agree smithing and skilling needs more stuff. Let's move on to the next one, shall we, Shane?
Yeah, and that's...
That entire year.
That's carrying out proper beta tests in 2014. they made this error in 2013 and 2012 regarding beta tests, where Premier Club membership members... got exclusive first access to the beta test. And with these beta tests, you had people in the beta test who weren't actually testing. They were just using it to play around with the new stuff and potentially breaking things along the way that were creating bad...
But that's how a beta is supposed to work.
I know that's how it's supposed to work, but these people were reporting the bad things out to the public and generating a sour taste for people who didn't have access to the beta. So... What I'm saying by creating proper beta tests in 2014 is having players who actually play the content, submit valuable feedback, and don't talk about it to the public until it's actually out. They need to have some sort of NDA on these sorts of things. I know, and I mean, the HTML5 client, when it first came out, had an NDA on it.
Say that again?
The HTML5 client, in the first couple weeks when it was out, had an NDA on it.
Non-disclosure.
And another thing, the Premier Club was kind of useless because the real incentive was so you could be in the beta, right, Shane?
For me, yeah, and the squeal spin.
I wasn't concerned about doing that because I've been in every beta that they've done in the past, so it's like... I'm definitely going to get in. Plus, I've been playing for almost 10 years, so I wasn't concerned. I knew I was going to get in. And I mean, you're saying about the NDA, I was about to say it wouldn't work, but I know that Microsoft has been... They have betas for their... new dashboard updates on the Xbox, and I've participated in most, if not all, of those as well. And the people who have broken the NDA, they have actually tracked them down and sued them. So if they take it seriously, I mean, it'll work.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced with the current community it would work.
That's all I'm asking for with future beta tests. Because I'm confident that if we had a future beta test, there would not have been as much negative backlash around the evolution of combat. There would not have been as much backlash around the new interface system, getting rid of something everyone liked. And there wouldn't have been backlash about Jagex trying to magically up the system requirements on things regarding the HTML5 client. So,
there's a lot of backlash about the new interface system?
Yeah, people didn't like it because the fixed game window was going away and you had to use the new preset. And I mean, they just didn't like the change from what we've known since 08.
Get a computer from this decade.
Hey.
Well, you know what, Shane? I've said it before. Oh, God, it's different.
Selling tissues, 1K each. We're bad.
All right, hey. So that's it for me. When do you guys pick up the next steps here?
Reed!
Trek here, you okay? Well, I guess I'll go next then. What I didn't like in 2013 and the update was the first one is the Nexus. The update itself wasn't bad, but I tried it actually a couple of days ago with a friend and it didn't seem that bad. I'm not sure how the experience was, how much experience you got from it, because I had to go. But it was dead on arrival. Shane, could you find any reason why it was? Or was it just dead on arrival?
Well, I mean, this wasn't an update that I was chosen to cover for this, so I'm really not the one to ask about it. I've never gone to the place, primarily because it's a low-level prayer thing. And by the time I would have received access to this game update, I was already level 95 prayer. And this was really only usable for people under 40.
Oh, yeah, I now remember what this one was. It was the little thing in the swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was for low-level players to at least train a little bit of prayer without having to bury 3,000 prayer normal bones.
So how was the experience on it? Awful?
I don't think it was awful.
For someone above 60.
Well, for someone above 60, there's no point where you're doing it anyway.
Okay.
Because you've already got access
to it. Hence why it was
DOA. You should be able to... No, I don't think it was dead on arrival. It was an interesting concept. I think the issue was that you kind of had to expect that at least 4 people or so actually worked together, and you know how hard that is just to get a group of engineers to do that.
Yeah. So what I think is more all-level content. There's high-level content like ports where you have to have 90, and then there's which is used a lot. But then there's this, and it was dead on arrival. But... Can you guys think of something that's all level content? I mean, Dungeoneering scales, but
that's collaborative.
Whether or not you have to work with other people, it doesn't matter. Can or can't.
Castle Wars.
Yeah,
but that's at this point, if you're not max combat,
Vine Sweeper,
you're going to get your ass handed to you. No.
I think it's useless. No one ever goes in there.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I just can't think of anything that's all level content.
So no, divination is, in a way, divination was all level content.
Yeah, but that's a skill, so it doesn't
Trouble
really
brewing.
Count. Oh, that's a good one. Except that one was dead on arrival as well, but it's coming back. Eh, sort of. But see, those are all mini-games.
Stealing creation.
If it's non-combat, yeah.
Yeah, didn't that just turn into a kill your friends thing?
No, no, there are non-combat ones, and they can get a game done in, like, what is it normally, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
They can get it done in about 12 if you have a big enough group. Yeah. And there's no combat, so one team doesn't just sit in the base and can't do anything. And my next one is Far and Wide Transport Update. Now, the reason I hate this is... Say what?
I knew this would be here.
I do not like lodestones. I think they make it too easy to get around. And, I mean, I guess, call me old-fashioned, but... I prefer using conventional teleports even today. I since the lodestones are there, I'll use them, but only if they're close. If they are actually the closest teleport. Like, to get to the Grand Exchange, I'll still use a Varrock teleport. To get to East how do you say that city?
Ardoin.
To get there, I'll still use that teleport. I only use it if it is actually the closest.
See, I understand where you're coming from on this, but for me it's a matter of convenience. I don't need to carry runes around with me.
Yeah, but I bought 100,000 of the elemental runes. So... I want to use, and that's not the entire reason why I still use conventional teleports. I only bought like 1,000 law runes, but I just don't like it, and that's a personal one from me. I guess overall for the game it's good, but I don't like it.
All right, fair enough.
And the last one for me was the Battle of Lumbridge. It was cool, but it was cool, but it took way too long. It was 10 weeks long, and it didn't really lag. It did, I guess. It did for some people.
Well, you, don't forget. Remember the during you and I went during the rebuildathon. You and I kind of got stuck in a little car.
That was funny. That was pretty funny.
it was like, wait, I can't get out. What do you mean? I literally cannot get out. And Reed was like, Reed, don't. Too late. Hot damn, you're right.
Yeah, but that was the rebuild-a-thon. That wasn't this. But it was 10 weeks long, which was much, much longer than it should have been. It just drug on and on when you were just capping for one day. And I got the armor, but then afterwards they told us that it was a drop in the God Wars dungeon, so really, what's the point? And I would have bought
those
emotes.
And the whole ending was rather anticlimactic.
Yeah, I mean, Zemrak's less powerful. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
And we're left with a huge mess in Lumbridge. Granted, we cleaned most of it up, but there's still a big crater there. It was used for Christmas, and my magic tree is still out of the way.
Where'd it go? It's gone! Where's my magic tree?
I did not sound like that.
Yeah, you did, Shane. Mike said that was a good imitation of you when you get scared.
All right. So, anything else?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
just
so
do it.
We basically talked about the combat gear needs more a variety of gear, needs some more abilities. We basically nailed that almost every single episode. There really hasn't been any real recent news or updates with HTML5. I'm actually in it right now, and it still looks the same as it was a couple of months ago. I don't see any real significant change with how it runs. And maybe they will actually support the whole client thing, even though they flat out said no. But maybe if they actually listen to the community, as they've been doing for the past couple of weeks or so, maybe we will. Well, we'll see. But lastly, I really didn't like I really did not like how they got rid of the prestige system. I really thought that was an interesting idea. I think they could have, I think it could have been a hit with Dope with a lot of people, but they decided to can it amid public outrage.
Yeah, although I think I'm gonna disagree with Shane. I think it was good that they did put that to a vote, because So prestige, that was a high scores thing. And how much did the high scores affect you in the real game?
Zip.
They don't. It's purely for competing with other players. It would have no impact on the game if they did it or if they didn't.
And see, that's the thing why I think it was such a good update. For those of us who do want to compete, it adds a whole other level of competition to it. Once you reach 200 million, you've done that once. If you want to maintain that, do it again. Do it again.
And
it's all about competition.
And we all know that if this came out, Shane would definitely go 99 farming every single day.
That's right.
See?
And, you know, granted, it would allow for us to redo skills that we want to redo, and it would encourage new competition into the game, and it would make people actually work for their spots on the high scores again. That's my main thing that I'm really happy about if the system would have came out, is that it would have turned the high scores into a constant sense of accomplishment, and there would have been ways to do this on the web end without causing too much disruption to people. So I honestly don't see why they needed the vote for this. They should have just pushed on straight ahead and did it. Now, another good thing that would have come out of Prestige is that content like the Nexus that you mentioned, we could have actually used that at lower levels with the Prestige update. So I'm going to agree with you that Prestige should have actually been in game.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else?
No, I didn't miss anyone this time.
I didn't say you did. You did it yourself.
All right. So now that we know what was good, what was bad, let's talk about where we want the game to go in 2014. So, Trekkie, you start.
Okay, where I would like the game to go. The whole self-discovery has to be one of the main little things. I think a lot of new quests that will be coming out is going to be focused on that. Unlocking some of the powers that we have, unlocking that little icon thing in our infant equipment page that's supposed to be useful later on. More character development to go along with it. But I'm still really, really still looking forward to finish off the Elven Quest series. No time before I die.
I'll second that. Because the Elven Quest was the first storyline that I latched onto, and as a result, I think it's got the most room to move. So definitely something we'd like to see going
forward. Don't mess it up like the dwarf thing. Wait, did I not put that in my words?
No, you didn't.
I didn't. What? Oh, well, that's unacceptable. I've got to revise that, everyone. I am so sorry. Should I do that now, Shane?
Yeah, just say Birthright of the Dwarves was one of your most hated updates of the year.
It was one of the shittiest quests I have ever... No. No, Jagex. Stop. Plot holes abound.
I still haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I still haven't either.
I thought you did.
No.
Really?
I did a big part of it, and then I realized that I just can't do this anymore. It's so bad. And I've never gotten around to finishing it. Okay. Sorry about forgetting that. Continue.
All right, so you ended off with finishing the Elven quest and a deeper understanding of yourself, abilities, and whatnot. Is there anywhere else you'd like to go on that?
Where I'd like to go? I want to what would be a good idea. I want to kill off Armadale, take over his place, become supreme god of justice, slaughter every other god there is, create my own personal cult following in Glenanor, take over the entire world of Glenanor, find a way to dimension shift to another dimension, take over that place, and then write my holy Bible and say, "Follow me or I shall smite thee." The end.
So in other words, you want to be a god and then have complete control over the game.
Complete control? No! I don't want complete control, but I'll just say anyone who disagrees with me will receive the non-blunt end of the sword. Actually, maybe I should give them the blunt end of the sword. Make them suffer a little bit more.
Nice!
Skip the trial and go right to the execution, right, Shane?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Judge, jury, executioner.
All right. As for me, in 2014, I'd like to see the game to stay on the current path that they're on and growing the game, growing up the game, growing up the player base, but rein in the amount of controls players have by just a little bit. Prime example, the prestige system did not need to die. And among other things as well. I just don't like the idea that players are going to be deciding where the game is going. I mean, it's a trust issue. I don't trust the player base just yet. Granted, there might be improvements there, but I'd still prefer to see Jagex in the primary driver's seat as to what's going on.
Let's see. More lore. Lore.
Woo!
Woo! I went into that earlier. Less Solomon in the Store and Squeal of Fortune crap. Or at least just give us more bank space for all of the crap that's going in there from that. And then just tweak EOC more. And I don't know if it's just me, but I'm still unclear about the weapons and armor in this game.
All right.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Thank you for that picture, Shane.
That's creepy looking.
Yeah.
All right, so that pretty much does us in for our year in review.
Does us in?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what that means, Shane.
Well, I mean, just if we eat anything bad over the holidays in case anyone tries to poison us.
What?
I see.
Anyways. But yeah, we're done for this year in review 2013. Thank you both of you for coming on and doing this on such short notice, but I think it was good to do to get an idea of where the game was this year and perhaps where we'd like to go next year. We'll have to wait and see until the first behind the scenes of 2014, but nonetheless, good job, Jagex, for the most part this year on what you've done. We like what you're doing, and it's the best time to play RuneScape. Hope everyone's having a great Christmas break, and look forward to listening to the clip show in a couple of days.
Woo!
And don't drink the eggnog.
It might be laced with poison.